This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. Well, another interesting week, Kevin. Another day, another few dollars, if you happen to be part of Insulate Britain.
Insulate Britain, they've apologised for all the chaos.
They've profoundly apologised.
Profoundly apologised.
Yes, and this is apparently because there was a fucking court case, right? There was a hearing in which it was put off until next week. I mean, what sort of maniacs in the legal system are going to say to them, oh, I'll tell you what, we'll adjourn the case for a week because then we can tell you next week what we're going to do.
Fuck's sake, it's just fucking ridiculous. The police go, oh, we've got to have a fucking injunction, otherwise we can't do anything about it. Blocking the Queen's Highway isn't a serious enough offence. Well, think of another fucking offence.
Well, I think
there must be other
offences.
Do you know
what I think's happened, though? I think that the good people of Wandsworth Bridge and the good people of Millwall down by the Blackwall Tunnel have proven that actually you can stop these people from doing whatever
fucking
you want to do by dragging them off the road.
Yeah, you saw that yesterday, that these guys got a hold of them, dragged them off the road, and that was it. So there you go. Textbook lesson to the police. That's how you do it.
So this wanker Liam Norton goes, Insulate Britain wishes to profoundly apologise for the disruption caused over the past 3 weeks. Yeah. We cannot imagine undertaking such acts in normal circumstances, but we believe that the reality of our situation has to be faced. The reality of what fucking situation? There's nothing wrong with the climate. We're not all going to die. And who's this fucking bloke they keep quoting? David King, who's
God
apparently
knows.
Some former advisor to the government who apparently issued the wise words that actually, if we don't do something within 3 years, we're all going to fucking die a horrible fireball
off.
Death.
Don't give me that fucking shit.
I mean, what a load of
old fucking hate all that stuff. It's not an emergency. You know, they go, oh, the planet will be dead in 10 years. Well, that's not a fucking emergency. That's 10 years' time.
Well, I'll tell you what is an emergency.
You don't phone up the fucking fire brigade and say, hey, my house is on fire. Can you come around in 10 years?
Right. Well, it's like the NHS, isn't it? I mean, I was saying to somebody today on the show, we were talking about it. Carol Sikora said, well, you wouldn't get the NHS to book your holiday. I said, well, you wouldn't. Because if you did, they'd say, we booked your holiday, but you can't go on it for five fucking years. Because you've got to wait in the waiting list.
When you see these cunts blocking roads and sitting on bridges, what you're seeing is people with psychological problems.
I think that's right.
They are,
and it's time we actually
manic
admitted
attention
that.
Seekers
yeah.
who are imbued with a sort of sense of their own holiness and they want to be seen as wonderful people. And when you go, you fucking cunts, get out of the fucking way, they look at you with this sort of pitying gaze and say, oh, you don't understand the nature of the emergency. Yeah, we do. It's not a fucking emergency. Now fuck off back to fucking Tunbridge Wells,
right.
You cunt.
And exactly right, because guess what? They don't bother actually demonstrating anywhere outside of London because they all live around fucking London, right?
Did you see, what's the name of that cunt who runs Insulate Britain? Roger something.
Oh yeah, Roger Hallett, is it?
Yeah, something.
He's
like
Hallam. He's the guy who was kicked out of Extinction Rebellion for being too fucking mad.
For being too fucking mad, and by the way,
an anti-Semitic.
There were indications that under his regime, not saying he's responsible, but it was actually pretty racist that people of colour did not feel welcome in the organisation. And looking at these demonstrations, I can see why that is. I haven't seen a black face in these demonstrations fucking anywhere.
No.
It's for white middle-class wankers.
Well, it's
that's
like cyclists, isn't it? I mean, how often do you see people cycling on the roads who are not white and middle-aged
and
male?
You know what that cunt Roger the Dodger said, right? So
Roger the Dodger.
To be fair, to the strike. There, a weeping woman in a car got to one of these barriers.
Because her mother was in an ambulance.
My mother's just gone through in an ambulance. She's 81. I want to be with her. Can I go through? And to be fair, they let her through, right? Roger the fucking Dodger said, I wouldn't have let her through. What a cunt.
Absolute wanker.
What an absolute cunt.
I mean, if I'd been at Wandsworth Bridge, right, I think you might have found some of these characters being thrown in the fucking river. Never mind being dragged off the fucking road.
Yeah, no, Roger the Dodger is cruising for a bruising, not from us, but somebody is going to lose their temper with these people. And let's face it, when they do, a lot of people are going to have a lot of sympathy with them.
I think that's absolutely right. But you don't want that to be the situation, because let's face it, you know, it's all very well saying, look, we've got an emergency, we believe in this, this is our kind of issue, and fine. They've made their fucking point now just fuck off.
Yeah, fuck
don't
off.
Bother. Why do you keep having to make the
because
point?
Because
the idea that they go, oh, well, we want to have a meaningful statement from the government. What the fuck is that? What does that even mean?
They're a cult, and they've got psychological problems. They're attention-seeking idiots who actually enjoy being the object of everybody's hatred, because due to their neurosis, they look down on the rest of us. They say, because you don't understand that the planet's dying.
Yeah,
no, we don't, because it's
not. What is it, by the way, that gives them this special fucking knowledge that the planet's actually dying?
They haven't got special knowledge. They just want to be the focus of attention, and they just want to be seen as holier than thou and pious about
tossers.
Climate change. Fuck you, you
absolute
bunch of
tossers. Now, I'm going to surprise you now, right, because I'm going to say to you that Boris Johnson has actually said something that I agree with. He said it is not the government's job to come in and fix every problem. Hurrah! Finally, somebody's actually said the truth, because it's true. Because we now live in a society where everyone expects the government to fix everything. Oh, can't get any petrol. It's the government's fault. Can't buy any fucking pasta. Oh, it's the government's fault. Well, guess what? It's not actually the fucking government's fault. And there's no petrol shortage. I did not spend 1 second of any day that I've put petrol in my car queuing, because I just did it fucking sensibly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a shortage of petrol getting to forecourts.
Well, there was a shortage of petrol. There was a shortage of petrol because wankers started filling up their cars and they didn't need to.
Yeah.
That's why.
That cunt who queued up for 6 hours to put 90p's
in. Oh, my God. And what about Ronaldo's fucking driver who takes the Bentley out, sits in a queue for 7 fucking hours, gets to the pub, and there's nothing in it. They should use these fucking tests.
It's a fucking own goal.
They should use this as a fucking IQ test. And if you're that fucking stupid, you shouldn't even be driving.
Yeah. But
what's wrong with
them?
Going
back to what you said about Boris. Okay, great he said that. Here, I've got a message for you, Boris. I'll tell you what it isn't the government's job. It's to administer to my personal health and my personal medical requirements.
Mm.
So you twats putting everything on the back burner while you decided your doctor cabinet and you're going to keep the whole nation safe from COVID and safe from germs.
Keeping safe.
That's not your fucking job.
Keeping safe.
If I get fucking sick, maybe I'll die.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. You're the government.
Yeah.
Run the country, not my personal health requirements.
Yes, exactly
fucking tossers.
Well, I mean, you could always take the leaf out of Angela Rayner's book and
fucking hell.
Have another fucking
the
20... Have another fucking
tourist
20...
fucking
20
school.
Fucking embassies, you bastards. Yeah, fuck off with
all
the NHS.
All
Gittonian
racist fucking scum.
Listen, I'm fine. I'm going to smoke myself to fucking death. I am. Fuck off.
Yeah,
it's a working class thing.
Ah, fucking hell.
Fucking hell. Now, listen, we got a good announcement for you, by the way. November the 6th is the day. It's a Saturday. We'll reveal the venue soon. But what I can say is it's in London.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are going to go, yeah, fucking wankers, you're always doing it in London. Well, we've only done two, right?
Yeah.
And the second one happens to be in London.
Yeah,
do another one outside of London, but it's not that easy.
Yeah, but I'm not going more than 10 miles from
there. I mean, you fucking hate the North, don't you? Yeah. Even more than I do. It's not true, actually. We're just joking.
I actually like the North. I really enjoy going to the North.
Yeah, I love going to the North of England. In fact, I think Manchester might be a good place to go.
I love Manchester. Fantastic.
You know, as long as the fucking place isn't full of Tories.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I hate about Tory party conferences is all these fucking tosspot Labour people who fucking demonstrate outside, you know, Tory fucking scum, rich bastards, you know, and they threw a fucking cone at poor old Ian Duncan Smith, didn't they?
Did
Twats.
You see the disabled guy shouting at fucking...
No,
Jacob
I missed that.
Rees-Mogg. Top of his voice. You don't care about disabled people. And the disabled said, well, we do, actually.
Yes. He's brilliant,
you're
isn't he?
Do
you remember that fuck-witted bloke, Steve Bray? He was up there dressed as a Russian...
Oh, you mean the fucking Get Brexit?
Yeah, the Get Brexit, Stop Brexit.
Stop Brexit.
Well, he's up there, right, dressed as a fucking Russian commandant.
And he was at the Labour conference as well.
And he goes in and hands a fucking a load of money, fake money, to David Davis. Like, I mean, these guys think so hard about what they can do to upset people. And David Davis just laughed at him. You know, he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Fuck off, twat.
Steve Brave really ought to analyse his life and recalibrate his priorities.
I mean, but
he's wasted fucking 5 years.
Somebody's obviously paying him to do it, though, because he can't be doing it on no money.
Apparently, I think we had him on a show once, and he did something. It's something like he got redundancy and he sold his house or something. And he comes from Wales, did he not move? Stays with his sister.
But did he not move into that house opposite Jacob Rees-Mogg for a while?
I'm not sure, but yeah, I think he did. He stays with his sister in London and spends his whole time going, "Stop Brexit." Well, you didn't stop Brexit, you useless twat.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a waste of a life. What a waste of a fucking life.
Absolute moron. And now all he does is he stands outside Parliament calling people scum, Tory scum, as they're walking in. Just fuck off, mate.
Really, really productive way to spend your fucking life.
Well done, Steve.
What a fuck.
Absolute.
What a
fucking twat. Now, I've got some other good news for you as well. I've got some insurance money back on the old stolen briefcase. Well, I say stolen briefcase, the disappearing briefcase. So eventually, because I had a bit of a row with them, because they started sort of pissing me about on whether or not I was using it for work or whether I was at work and all this kind of stuff. And in the end, they didn't care. And in the end, they've given me a reasonable amount of money.
Good,
my new, spanking new iPad Pro cost me a lot less than I thought.
Excellent, excellent.
So it's nice when something works, isn't it?
I told you, there's something in the air. I lost my wallet last Tuesday.
Yes.
Getting off the bus.
But you got it back. Travelling by bus, Kevin. What the fuck is going on?
Well,
did you give the driver the day off?
I got to the station at night and it was pissing with rain, so I jumped on a bus. And when I jumped off the bus, evidently, my fucking wallet fell out of my pocket. So I spent all night worrying about it. Got up in the morning as you do.
Yeah.
Cancelled all the cards.
You hadn't cancelled the night before then?
No, because I was convinced I'd find the wallet in my house.
Really?
I went back.
See, that is the trouble, isn't it? Did you go back out?
I went back to the bus stop several times.
And you never saw it?
Couldn't find it because somebody had picked it up already. And then the next day, the next night, I'm doing my show. Fucking phone call comes in. From a very nice guy called Ethan.
Oh, yeah.
To say that his
sounds American.
His girlfriend Natalie had found my wallet.
Very
they
nice.
Both found it out near where I live.
And was there any money in it?
No, there was no money in it, but I went round to their house in Hampstead. I could see why they wouldn't be tempted to steal anything from me. They were not short of a bob or two. Fucking amazing.
Actually, speaking of insulate
fucking
Britain,
house.
There was a woman on Julia's show this week who looked like she had an amazing fucking kitchen that she was sitting in, and very well to do, spoke very well.
Yeah.
She was a bit older. She wasn't like one of these young unemployed people. She was probably of retirement age, I would say.
Yeah.
But she clearly was very well off
and
was very happy to sit on the fucking road, blocking everybody from going to fucking
work. Oh, see, she was one of those.
She was one of them.
Oh, for
because it seems to be either you're youngish and unemployed, or you're older and you've got a load of money.
Why don't we go around her fucking house and glue our hands to her parquet?
Well, how about you just glue the fucking door shut and you can't get out?
To glue our hands to her parquet flooring.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like. It looked like a very expensive house.
They're fucking insane.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like up in Glasgow? I had a message from my mate Donald up there today. He went, if these fucking idiots come up to Glasgow and try any of this shit, it's going to get fucking interesting.
Yeah, but they won't, will they? Because they never go more than about 3 miles.
They're too frightened to go to Glasgow.
They're home counties people. Yeah. They all live in the suburbs.
They're too frightened to go up there.
Fucking tosses.
Absolute fucking wankers. But, you know, what can you do? You know, we now live in a world where people think that they have the right to do whatever they think they want to do. You know, there's no standing back. There's no kind of all, this isn't really something we should do. We're actually making a bit of a cunt of it. Yeah. You know, they just keep doing it.
Do you know
it.
What? Right. So tonight on my show, there's this solicitor put himself forward. He represents some group. And he said, you know, it's really sinister and Orwellian that the government's thinking of stopping people attending demonstrations before get there. And this is this government plan that if they stop you and you've got like glue and hazmat jackets and things like that, or other high-vis jackets, it's obvious you're going to block the roads, so you can be arrested for going equipped to block the roads. So he wants to, it's a little sinister and in a free society.
Who's saying this?
This solicitor puts himself out. So I said to my producer, I said, all right, get him on. I'll rip him to shreds.
Yeah.
He lofted himself up. And he goes, well, I don't really fancy going on the air with Kevin.
What, so he shat it?
So he wouldn't do it.
Well, that's not very democratic of him.
Yeah, surely, but it's not very fucking brave of him
no,
either.
No, I mean, This is the trouble with a lot of these people. It's, you know, when it's like when you see people fighting who clearly don't know how to fight,
yeah,
right? And you think, what the fuck do you think you're doing? You know, they're sort of trying to sort of shake their hands at each other, yeah, and they're sort of, you know, slap each other. And you're just going to go, that doesn't work, mate. You look like a fucking moron.
Insulate Britain, I bet they can't fucking fight.
They don't look like they can. Well, I mean, they put up no resistance at all to those guys dragging them off the road. Yeah. And they've got those, as I said to you
those
earlier.
Those guys look like they could handle
themselves. Look like, and also, I love the fact that they then stood back and just waved all the traffic through, right? Fucking brilliant.
Come on,
and also, did you see that some of them are complaining that, one of our members was run over? Well, you're sitting in the fucking road, mate.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen if you do that?
Yeah.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
So how was your weekend? I'll tell you what fucking happened at my weekend.
Yeah.
Right? On Saturday, I promised to take the wife, Henrietta, out for lunch.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We booked a very nice restaurant in Hampstead, but it was for like 1:45.
Okay.
The slight problem I had there was at 12:30, Coventry Fulham was on the telly.
No, Christ.
So I wanted to watch the match, and yeah, I was thinking, well, I can't fucking get that in. So what I did was like one of those comedy shows. I insulated myself against the whole world.
Right.
You know, I refrigerated myself. So
right,
I put my phone in my pocket, didn't look at it. I didn't look at any papers. I didn't look at the telly. Didn't listen to the radio or nothing. I was just going, la, 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 right, going around making sure I didn't
see. Although, to be fair, a Hampstead restaurant's probably the least likely place to be
told
the
football
result.
Once I got into the restaurant, that was fine. So we got to the restaurant at about 10 to 2.
I mean, it's not often something they talk about, is it, Coventry?
Well, that's why I was laughing with Henry. I said, it'd be funny if the fucking match was up above the, right, the kitchen. But anyway, we had a nice meal, and then wandered back to our house, got back about 4:30, by which time the match was well and truly over. But it was all nice.
It's quite a quick lunch for you, though.
I wanted to get back and watch the match. So it was nice and recorded on the telly. So I sat down, ready to watch the match as live. The match began. After 10 minutes, Mitrovic, our forward, got a goal. Well, 1-0 up against lowly Coventry. And then proceeded to watch the rest of the match, and we lost 4-1.
Jesus.
So, I mean, what's the fucking, what a fucking waste
of
the day.
And then are you
day?
One of those people that then has a fucking bad, the rest of the day is then just in a fucking bad mood?
Well,
you don't seem like that kind of guy.
I was going to, I don't let football get me down like that, although it can piss me off quite a bit. But losing 4-1 at Coventry didn't put me in a great mood, but I was off to see the Bond movie that night. So we went off to see the Bond movie. That put me on a bit of a bad mood. It was fucking boring.
Do you know, I've heard lots of things about it. I haven't seen it. One of my kids has seen it, and we know what happens at the end, but we're not really supposed to say, right? But lots of people aren't very fucking happy about it.
Well, the end is just not conclusive. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, so what I'm hearing
goes,
from
everybody goes, it's really, really shocking. No, it's not.
Well, it's not really shocking, but what it is shit, because a lot of people want to fucking go to a Bond film and be uplifted, right? They want to leave and go, oh, isn't it great? You know, we can pretend that we're this great superpower and we've got the greatest secret agent in the fucking world. And this one doesn't make you feel like that.
But I mean, I'll tell you,
but there were people complaining on fucking Mumsnet and stuff going, my son left in tears.
Oh, fuck off.
I'll do
2 hours and 43 minutes. You know, after 2 hours, I'm wishing for one thing. The fucking end. I mean, 43 minutes still to go.
And what was it like in the cinema? Was it busy?
It was packed out.
Right.
Absolutely packed out.
Because my son said everyone was coughing.
We saw it
all fucking coughing.
We saw it in IMAX. But, you know, you don't want to, I don't want to spoil it for people, but you don't want to see like hours and hours of James Bond and his bird going, I love you. I love you. I love you. And,
well, do you remember when Daniel Craig...
Also, his bird in it, she's got shit teeth.
Shit teeth?
Yeah, buck tooth.
Do you know, isn't it funny?
Bond's buck tooth bird.
I was watching Mrs. Doubtfire the other day. Yeah. It was on, in fact, at the weekend. And we were just sort of watching it because it happened to be on. And it was in the days when even the Americans had ordinary teeth. You know, because now everybody's got these fucking brilliant white sort of, you know, straight teeth. Yeah. And Robin Williams and the woman who's in it, whose name I forget.
Doubtfire?
Yeah, Robin Williams was Mrs. Doubtfire, right? But there was a woman in it who was his ex-wife, remember? The one that he was the mother of his children.
Yeah, wasn't Dustin Hoffman in it?
No, that's, you're thinking of Tootsie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, same kind of idea.
All these fucking...
But, all these men dressing up as women.
Dressing up as women.
But, you know, their teeth just looked normal.
Yeah.
So they were unusually shaped. They weren't all straight. Yeah. There was little gaps between them. You know, I mean, it was normal. Whereas now you see people and they just look ridiculously fake.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, James Bond's girlfriend in No Time to Die, she could do with a bit of dental work.
So is that your professional recommendation?
Yeah, well, that's what we came up with. Our alliterative name for her after the show was... Bond's bucktooth bird.
It's not very politically correct.
I love you.
They've already had Jaws.
Can you say Jaws?
Maybe get the metal ones.
I think you can. I think you can call women birds, because it's not.
Well,
sexist.
It turns out that it's not.
It's not sexist.
Actually a sexist term.
No,
right?
It refers. It's a medieval word for fine young damsel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, fine young damsel is not really something you could say either.
And it was spelt like boyard or something like that.
Oh, right.
It means cocked nice
hat.
Young lady.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say that either, would you? I mean, can you
imagine?
You
could say nice young lady.
I don't think so.
What, you think that's sexist?
Well, I don't think it's language that you would use. You would not go into the office and go, "You're a very nice young lady," would you?
Well,
you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You know that.
I nearly said something bad.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, they might be listening.
There's some bad things I'm thinking.
Yeah, they might be listening. Listen.
No, but you... Bird
listen, we just did
not,
Plank of the Week earlier and there
were
some
term,
things I nearly said which I decided not to do.
And do you know the first time the word bird was used to refer to a young lady in the English language?
No.
It was in Beowulf. The first,
oh, yes, I think I did know that.
The first ever book.
Yes,
and no one quite knows why, apart from... Because at first people say, well, why was it related to birds flapping wings? And now there's this word boyard or something that they think it's derived from.
Right.
So anyway, long-winded way of saying it isn't actually sexist to call a woman a bird.
No. Okay. But they'll still call you a fucking old sexist bastard.
Well, I've got my fucking excuse in before they complain.
Well, I mean, good fucking luck with that.
If you do complain anyone, go fuck yourself.
Good luck with that. When you get the fucking human resources department
Bond's
on you going,
Bond's bucktooth bird.
Yeah, well, let's see about that. I'll tell you what, it's something else that's been winding me up. You know, I said last week, and I said it this week as well, this fucking petrol, so-called petrol crisis caused by the stupid people out there who don't understand how to fucking buy petrol. Do you know what's going on now? People are stockpiling for Christmas. I'm not joking. Aldi's frozen turkey crowns, which are those things that you can buy, which are not a whole turkey, right? Selling 1,500 a day. Christmas pudding sales up 45%, right? They're also saying they've ordered 250,000 chocolate orange bombs. I mean, what's wrong with people's fucking the 4th or 5th of October?
Yeah, I had a guy ring your show the other day. Quite right. It's exactly what I think. Look, I'm not fucking going out and buying any Christmas food until the week before.
I don't, also, you know...
If there isn't any around, I'll have egg and fucking chips. I couldn't care less.
Yeah, exactly. What's the fucking difference?
Couldn't care less.
I mean, I'm going to go to America for Christmas, so I don't have to worry about it anyway. But the point is that, you know, what is it about people that makes them behave this way? Because I remember going up to Scotland a couple of years ago, last time I went anywhere, really. We went to Turnberry for Christmas. And I was in the local fucking Asda or something in Girvan, that little town down the road.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve, and it was fucking rammed with people literally buying everything in the shop. And I'm going, you're only shut for a day. They're open again on fucking Boxing Day. What the fuck are you thinking? Why are you buying all this shit? Why are you buying 55 fucking trays of shortbread?
People just, I don't know.
You
it's something
moron.
Psychological, isn't it? They just panic, you know. So hence the guy who queued for 6 hours to put 90p's worth of fuel into his car because he couldn't bear the idea of not having a completely full tank. People can't bear the idea of missing out on a turkey. And so they start stocking up now. And of course, just like the fuel crisis, what is really going to happen now is there genuinely will become a massive shortage of festive food because all the cunts are going out and buying it now.
Well, that's the other thing I don't quite get, right? They keep saying, for example, that now that there's a shortage of pig butchers because they all came from Eastern
Europe.
They've
got to kill pigs.
Who fucking know? Who knew? Now they have to kill them. And you're going...
Well, they were
going
to kill them anyway, weren't they?
Yeah, but you haven't got enough people to kill them, but now you're killing them.
You're going to kill them,
So how does that work?
Oh, yeah, and they're going about... People go, oh, is there going to be a terrible shortage of pork at Christmas?
No.
So, yeah, well, I don't think that's the apposite meat, is it?
Really?
So,
well, also...
Who has pork at Christmas?
Well, some people have a ham, don't they?
I suppose, is that from...
I mean, my sister used to do a kind of traditional New Year's Eve kind of roast, and she would do, one roast beef and one ham.
Yeah, ham is a big Christmas thing.
So a big ham thing is quite a Christmas thing. But, I mean, you know, the point is it doesn't really matter. I heard somebody saying on Radio 4 the other day, who was from the industry, they basically said, look, if there isn't enough fucking pork in this country that can be sold, we'll just get it from Denmark. So you'll be able to get bacon, you'll be able to get fucking ham, you'll be able to get pigs in blankets if that's what you really like. But, you know, we're not going to run out of food.
Gives a shit, you know. I'll eat whatever's around as long as it's fucking decent enough. And, you know, if it's not festive, fuck it. Who cares?
Exactly right.
Fucking load of
I mean, we
bollocks.
Never, when I was growing up, we used to quite often just have chicken for Christmas. Well, we didn't really have a lot of turkey. Nice. I'm not even sure that my mother had a fucking oven that was big enough for a turkey.
Well, when I was a kid, the chicken was considered to be a real treat. I mean, yeah. it was a quality.
Well, it was called a capon.
Yeah, it was a quality.
Yeah,
meat.
It was like a big thing to have a fucking roast chicken.
So chicken for Christmas was quite normal.
Yeah, we
but
used to have
my mum used to get these fucking turkeys for about like £28. And she used to get
the
up
huge
at
ones.
3 a.m. to put it in the fucking oven.
Right. And it would be cooking for hours, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I seem to remember we used to have a friend. My parents had a friend who was very wealthy, state agent, called Tony Hinton, funnily enough, the same as the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to live in Lounge Square, which I always remember as a kid because it was the only house I'd ever been to that had its own lift, right?
Wow.
And you'd go into this beautiful, gorgeous house. And he had one of those old-fashioned Rolls Royce Silver Shadows with the long bonnet.
Yeah.
And we'd go to his house. And one year we went to his house and my mother will probably not forgive me for telling this story, but she got monumentally pissed on pink gin.
On pink gin, right?
Somehow we got home. I'm not sure how, because I don't think she could drive, and we'd driven there, so I don't know how the fuck we got home. I think my dad must have organised a cab or something. Anyway, we got home, and she flaked out, and it was Christmas Day, because we used to go to his house for Christmas Day cocktails. So my dad had to make the dinner, and he was fucking useless at cooking. And he cooked the chicken with the fucking giblets inside in the plastic bag.
Plastic, yeah, so all infused
in the plastic bag. Yeah, so we had the chicken. We still ate the fucking thing because we didn't know what else to do. And you know, he didn't discover that he'd done it until after he started cutting up the fucking chicken.
I remember when we were kids, right?
Didn't do us any harm.
My brother and sister, when we were little kids, my mum went away for the week with some friend of hers to Spain or something. So my old man was running the house. And we used to have a little corgi dog. And so he made up a pie for us, a sort of meat pie.
Oh, yeah.
With vegetables and stuff.
He made a pie?
Yeah.
That's quite good.
My dad, he fancied himself as a cook.
Right.
He was a bit of a cook, but he wasn't a very good cook, but he liked cooking. Anyway, he made this pie. And so we started trying to eat it. And he was a bit, like, strict, you know, so we didn't really have the guts to tell him it sucked.
Yeah.
So I was fucking disgusting.
But and we used to eat terrible food in those days.
Yeah, in the end, I said, Dad, it's a bit salty. And he goes, don't be so bloody ungrateful.
Right.
Then he'd come and try it, and then he went, yeah, it is a little on the salty side. And then we looked over, the dog's having a great time. So he's given the fucking dog the steak and kidney and we've got this shitty old dog food in a fucking pie.
Well, fuck me. I remember my dad was very partial to something called pork fillet, which I think was quite cheap because we didn't really have very much money. I remember we were going to Scotland once on a train and I was like, can we go and get some lunch from the buffet car? He's like, no, I brought lunch. And I'm like, okay. So he goes in his pocket, pulls out this fucking thing, which is about a foot long and kind of sausage shaped.
Yeah.
And it was pork fillet.
Right.
Which is literally like pork sort of, shoulder or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not really meant to eat it like, you know, a fucking
well,
stick
so
of rock.
So just gave you lumps of meat.
Yeah. And that's what we fucking had on the train.
No nuances like sandwiches.
No,
or,
there was no bread. There was no bread. He had a pen knife.
Stone Age.
He had a fucking pen knife, right? But this is, I tell my kids this about the 70s and they look at me like I'm fucking talking mad bollocks. You know?
My old man, right, another thing about it, he liked to cook, but he was a bit slapdash, right? So we lived in this village and there used to be this guy used to come around selling a big barrel of farm-made vinegar, right?
Right.
So in those days, you remember
it
those,
was a different world, wasn't
so,
it?
You know those
totally different world.
So you know those big old Coke bottles?
That, oh, yeah.
You know, when they used to have the big family-sized one. So all the housewives, you're allowed to say that these days? My mother was a housewife.
Homemaker.
Right? Yeah, that's what they say in America. That, you know, so they'd all go out. And this bloke was called Fred. What I remember, his name was Freddie Mac.
Right.
And so he'd fill up all, all their bottles. So my mother would come home with two or three of these bottles of vinegar, which I fucking hated anyway, put them in the fridge.
Right.
So my father, one of his signature dishes was soused herring. So he used to make these soused herrings with fucking vinegar. And we fucking hated it when we were kids.
What was he, fucking Scandinavian?
No, he says he just stank the fucking house out. He used to make these curries that were, you know, we got fucking Nearly puking. Anyway, so he makes this soused herring, which I would never eat.
I'm not a fan.
Shit like that, anyway. No. So my mother and him sit down to eat the soused herring, and my mother again, it's very nice, dear. And they carry on eating. She gets off and she said, I don't think I can carry on. Why don't you want it? I've spent ages making this. Anyway, it transpires that in amongst the Coke bottles of vinegar was a Coke bottle.
Oh, no.
And he'd soused the herring in Coca-Cola.
Unbelievable. But it was literally a different world then. I mean, we used to have a guy that came around selling onions, with a French blue and white striped shirt.
Yeah.
We had another guy who had a bike and he used to sharpen knives.
That's right. Yeah.
And he put the bike up on two prongs and he'd cycle and sharpen the fucking knives.
Yeah.
We had the rag and bone man that would come around.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like that now. Yeah. There's nothing like that.
Yeah, you could just give the rag and bone man, they used to shout in the room, hey, rag and bone, any old iron.
Any old iron. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Yeah. Let's talk from that to very modern stuff because we're nearly finished. But what do you make of this Facebook situation? Because there's this whistleblower, Francis Horgan, 37 years old, former product manager, who's testifying before the people in Capitol Hill all about how fucking poisonous and noxious the Facebook place is. And isn't it a bit weird that the day before she does that, they suddenly fucking go down for 6 hours?
You know, they say it was an internal error. But
they're never going to admit to it, are they?
We have a right to an opinion. Here's what I think happened. And I suspect you might agree with me. They were cyber attacked.
Yeah, I think so.
Of course they fucking were.
Of course they were.
And they lost $7 billion off the
But does that mean, right? Does that mean that if they continued and carry on, not being offline, that they make that kind of money every fucking day?
Well, it's to do with when they look vulnerable in terms of cyber attack, then the value plummets off the share price. I mean, it'll build back up, but if they get attacked again, it'll fall again.
Right.
And that's why they don't admit it. They never admit cyber attacks.
No.
It's always some internal problem.
Because if you think of the number of people that must work in those places, right, and how much knowledge they must have and how crazy some of them must be, you must admit that some of them are going to wreak for their revenge, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you got to hand it to Twitter, not my favourite organisation, but they were pretty funny about this. So,
well, it was anything it was working,
as
wasn't it?
As you know, so Facebook went down, Instagram went down, WhatsApp went down, so Twitter put out a tweet, "Hello to literally everyone."
That is quite funny. It really is. Because there are a lot of people who only now communicate by WhatsApp going, well, what do we do now?
I tell you.
What do we do now?
I mean, WhatsApp is like central to my fucking life.
Is it?
Yeah, well, I do.
You've never sent me a fucking WhatsApp.
Yeah, well, you and I tend to...
We tend to text each other.
Like you, Ali Ross,
and
Henrietta, my wife, funny enough. I got about three people that I talk to by text for no apparent reason,
right,
except that I do.
Right.
And for some reason, I don't want to change it. It seems like the system to me.
Because that was everyone the other thing. People were shitting themselves yesterday because they were like, oh, fucking hell, does this mean that all the WhatsApp messages are going to be unencrypted and everybody's going to be able to see them?
Who knows?
That's the
thing. But I mean, I find WhatsApp very, very useful.
No, it's great. And also,
you
can use
it. Talk to your producer and all that, you know, it's vital.
It can be quite handy. Well, listen, we've reached the end of yet another podcast. And so we shall reconvene next week after Boris Johnson's made his speech, which is going to be tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So we can't make any account of that, apart from the fact that it will no doubt be full of the fucking green bollocks.
Yeah.
And how we're all going to be moving through into a new kind of economy, right? Where apparently we're all going to eat a lot less, we're all going to shop a lot less, and we're all going to go a lot fewer places.
I think the overriding message from the Tory conference so far for me has been Priti Patel declaring war on middle-class drug users.
Yes.
She's going to declare war. She's going to get them arrested. She's going to get them tested.
She's going to test everyone who gets arrested, right?
Middle class drug users.
Yeah.
So the great news is if you're a working class or an upper class drug user, you're in the clear.
Well, good. Well, that's fine then. Luckily, I'm none of those.
It's such bullshit when they do that. It's because middle class people are an easy target. They haven't got the guts to attack working class drug users.
No.
Because working class drug users could be seen as the victims of society.
Oh, yeah, because they take drugs because they don't have any
guts,
choice. They take drugs because they haven't got any choice.
Middle class. The police are always attacking middle class. Middle classes are the easiest targets out there.
Well, the police like attacking the middle class because they don't fight back.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the middle classes. It wasn't the fucking middle classes that took those people off Wandsworth Bridge yesterday.
No.
It was the fucking van drivers.
Yeah, I know.
You know? And that's and those are the fucking,
our fucking heroes.
Those are the real heroes. There we go. We'll tip our hat to them. Heroes of the week, the fucking Wandsworth Bridge Brigade.
Indeed.
Right. For the rest of you, you can all go fuck yourselves. We'll see you next week.
When you see these cunts blocking roads and sitting on bridges, what you're seeing is people with psychological problems.
I think that's right.
They are,
and it's time we actually
manic
admitted
attention
that.
Seekers
yeah.
who are imbued with a sort of sense of their own holiness, and they want to be seen as wonderful people. And when you go, "You fucking cunts, get out of the fucking way," they look at you with this sort of pitying gaze and say, "Oh, you don't understand the nature of the emergency." Yeah, we do. It's not a fucking emergency. Now fuck off back to fucking Tunbridge Wells,
right.
You cunt.
And exactly right, because guess what? They don't bother actually demonstrating anywhere outside of London, because they all live around fucking London, right?
Did you see, what's the name of that cunt who runs Insulate Britain? Roger something.
Oh yeah, Roger Hallett, is it?
Yeah, something.
He's
like
Hallam. He's the guy who was kicked out of Extinction Rebellion for being too fucking mad.
Was doing too fucking mad, and by the way,
an anti-Semitic.
There were indications that under his regime, not saying he's responsible, but it was actually pretty racist that people of colour did not feel welcome in the organisation. And looking at these demonstrations, I can see why that is. I haven't seen a black face in these demonstrations fucking anywhere. It's a medieval word for fine young damsel.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, fine young damsel is not really something you could say either.
And,
though, is it?
And it was spelt like boyard or something like that.
Oh, right.
It means cocked nice
hat.
Young lady.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say that either, would you? I mean, can you
imagine?
You
could say nice young lady.
I don't think so.
What, you think that's sexist?
Well, I don't think it's language that you would use. You would not go into the office and go, "You're a very nice young lady," would you?
Well,
you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You know that.
James Bond's girlfriend in No Time to Die, she could do with a bit of dental work.
So is that your professional recommendation?
Yeah, well, that's what we came up with. Our alliterative name for her after the show, show was Bond's Bucktooth Bird.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.